This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Two applicants have so far tossed their hats into the ring to serve the remaining term of former counsel Jordan Tibbles, who resigned earlier this month, and both will be familiar to Cambie voters. Both were on the ballots in November's hotly contested election. James Heeb and Jason Patton, both of whom currently serve on the Cambie Planning Commission, finished 5th and 6th in last year's runoffs. The results were incredibly close, with Heeb finishing 8 votes ahead in a race in which they both collected more than 4,200. Tibbles, who finished 4th and therefore won a seat on the council, garnered just 106 more than Heeb. Patton, whose application for the position was filed September 2nd, the day after Tibbles resigned, has a long history of service to the community, including a 2.5-year stint on the council, which he resigned due to work commitments he had at the time. He has since chaired the Cambie Budget Committee and served on the Cambie Urban Renewal Advisory Board, Street Maintenance Task Force, and civic and athletic organizations such as the Cambie Lions Club and the Greater Portland Volleyball Officials Association. Under major interests and concerns, he cited streets and sidewalks, parks, planning for the future, and a desire to keep the city council nonpartisan. Heeb, who also serves as an elected precinct committee person of North Cambie, is a U.S. Marine veteran of the Iraq War and senior vice commander for the Cambie Aurora VFW post. He is also a member of the American Legion. Heeb filed his application on September 11th and said he has spent the last 3 years following all of the inner workings of Cambie. Heeb cited a desire to raise his children in Cambie and help guide the city's continuing growth while, quote, maintaining Cambie's small town feel. The deadline for applications is 5 p.m. September 30th. All qualified applications will be forwarded to the mayor and council on October 1st, and interviews will be held in open session on October 6th. The new city councilor will be sworn in at the following meeting on October 20th and will serve through the end of December 2022. A Malala man was killed in a single vehicle crash on Meridian Road northeast near Mount Angel, Scotts Mills Road in North Marion County Thursday. The Marion County Sheriff's Office says it received the emergency call at approximately 5:22 p.m. Deputies say the crash involved 79-year-old Jack Matthews of Malala. The Sheriff's Office said Matthews had been reported missing to the Malala Police Department earlier that day. According to an initial investigation, Matthews was driving a 2020 Kia Sorento north on Meridian Road when he left the roadway for unknown reasons and struck a tree. Emergency medical responders pronounced Matthews dead before deputies arrived on scene. Matthews was still serving as pastor at a small church, New Horizons Fellowship in Malala, which has been meeting virtually since the pandemic began. "Pastor Jack wasn't just our pastor, he was our papa," said Jody Newland, who has attended New Horizons since moving to Malala in 2010. "He loved us like we were each his own kids." The Marion County Sheriff's Office was assisted by Metcalm 911, Molalla Police Department, Mount Angel Fire Department, Mount Angel Police Department, and the Willamette Valley Communications Center. The city of Cambie this week broke ground on a tournament-ready suite of four regulation-sized pickleball courts at North Maple Street Park, which is intended to complement the new splash pad at the location and add yet another amenity to the community's menu of recreational offerings. Each court will be individually fenced with 4-foot-tall fencing separating the courts, the city said in a press release. The courts will be green and blue asphalt with black-dyed concrete separating each playing surface. The courts will be lit with motion-activated LED lights and a second gazebo installed to complement the new gazebo that was constructed with the splash pad. The project will also include concrete benches intended to separate the splash pad and pickleball courts. Barry Johnson, the chair of the Cambie Parks and Recreation Board, said there has been a lot of positive feedback and excitement from the community surrounding the project. Pickleball is a hybrid of tennis, badminton, and ping pong, and by some accounts, the fastest growing sport in America. It is for all ages and abilities, but it is particularly popular with older adults as a low impact alternative to tennis. The pickleball courts have been made possible with funding from the city and generous donations by Dr. Ashley McFerrin of Cambie Eye Care and Mark and Lori Schuholm and family. The pickleball courts are expected to be finished in November, depending on weather. For any questions regarding the project, call 503-266-0789. To see renderings of the new complex, find this story on our website, cambiefirst.com. LifeLight Network, which is based at the Aurora State Airport and is the nation's largest nonprofit air ambulance provider, has been named Program of the Year by the Association of Air Medical Services. Among the 350 programs eligible for the award globally, LifeLight Network was selected as the top air medical program. The award recognizes an emergency medical transport service that demonstrated a superior level of patient care, management prowess, high-quality leadership, customer service, safety consciousness, marketing ingenuity, community service, and a commitment to medical transport community as a whole. Sponsored by Airbus, the award is considered the most prestigious award available to air medical providers. We are excited to have been chosen for this prestigious award, Ben Clayton, interim CEO at LifeLight, said in a press release. Clayton called the honor a testament to the hard work and dedication of our highly skilled clinicians, aviators, maintenance personnel, communications specialists, operational control specialists, and administrative staff. They are the best in the industry, he said. Their unrelenting focus on patient care, safety, quality, and customer service is the reason we are able to provide access to life-saving care in the communities we serve. LifeLight has been in operation for over 43 years and employs approximately 750 people. Throughout Oregon, Idaho, Washington, and Montana, the company has 25 rotor wing bases, 9 fixed wing bases, 2 neonatal and pediatric bases, and operates 30 ground ambulances. LifeLight will be officially recognized at the Air Medical Transport Conference in Fort Worth, Texas on November 1st.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Cambie, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Cambie. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432.
Over 70 years ago, a seed was planted in the rich, fertile soil of North Cambie. The seed was Swan Island dahlias, and today it has blossomed and grown into the largest leading dahlia grower on planet Earth. Family owned and operated, Swan Island is one of Oregon's premier agrotourism destinations, boasting 375 varieties and 40 acres of gorgeous blooms. A sea of color that is among the most jaw-dropping and unforgettable sights in the entire Pacific Northwest. While their fields and annual Dahlia Festival justifiably get a lot of attention, Swan Island has a lot of amenities you may not know about. Their selection of gifts, gardening supplies, and other unique finds is among the most expansive in Cambie area, and their fresh-cut flower shop, it's always worth stopping for. This summer, Swan Island is featuring a rotating menu of delicious food trucks Thursday through Sunday and a wide variety of fun classes for all interests and ability levels. The Dahlia Farm will also be hosting a local farmer's market every Friday and live music shows through September. Swan Island and their amazing dahlia fields are open 6 days a week, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., closed Wednesdays. For class registration, concert schedule, or more information, visit dahlias.com or follow Swan Island Dahlias on Facebook and Instagram. Attention hunters! The Cambie Rod and Gun Club will be opening their 100-yard rifle range to the general public and club members later this month to give hunters and sportsmen the opportunity to ensure their firearms are properly sighted in before the hunting season kicks off. This year's sight-in days will be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. the last two weekends in September, the 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. The cost is $5 per gun and $1 per chamber flag, which is refundable upon return. The Cambie Rod and Gun Club provides the range officers, targets, experienced spotters, and coaches at each firing point to help with the sighting in process. The Cambie Rod and Gun Club is located about a mile southeast of Cambie on the Malala Forest Road. Maps and more information are available at cambierodandgun.org. No reservation necessary. Happy hunting.
Joining us in the Cambie conversation today, we are so excited to welcome on Michelle Lee. She is the founder and longtime director of Oregon City Children's Theater. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
Awesome. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about Oregon City Children's Theater and why you started it for folks that may not know about it?
In 2005, my then 9-year-old daughter had been doing theater since she was 5. And one night while I was working, I'm a registered nurse, and her entire young life, she knew me as Mom the Nurse. And what I failed to tell her was that before having her, before, you know, Mom had a whole history where I worked in professional theater and film in Hollywood, Los Angeles. And then after having her, as a family, we made the choice to move back to Oregon. And 4 years later, I was a registered nurse and just kind of walked away from it because I felt like that was the end of that journey. And I enjoyed every minute of it, but I was ready to do something different. And in Oregon, especially. And so she discovered my memory box out in the garage one night when I was working at the hospital. And on the side, it was labeled Mom Theater. So she got very curious what that meant. She started digging through the box and found programs and pictures and DVDs and, you know, all that stuff. Or no, VHSs. We didn't have DVDs back then. The next day, she asked me what that box meant. And, you know, so I told her I used to do theater too. And she asked if I ever directed, to which I said yes. I had directed my first show when I was 18 years old. I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
She said, can you direct a show that I can be in? And at the time, at that immediate moment, I said, oh gosh, you have no idea what you're asking.
Right, what you're asking, yeah.
It wasn't actually even the concept of the time or anything like that. It was the financial side.
Yeah.
You know, because I understood and I knew full well, it's like just getting the rights to do some productions is very expensive.
Right.
And, you know, so I told her, I said, I'd love to, but, you know, I just don't know how financially we could do that. Because I was a single mom. And, that night I had a crazy dream that said, do this and you can make it happen. Wow. And so I told her, I said, well, let's try it. Let's just try it. And basically what the dream was, is that, you know, if parents were willing to pay a small fee for their kids to be in a play, like they would pay for their kids to be in dance or anything else, if I took that money and used that money to pay for the rights, buy props, costumes, set pieces, little simple stuff, could we pull it off? And the only thing I knew is that I would always employ what's called a cast all policy, which basically means if you show up, I promise you a part in my play. And so what that first year I went to my daughter's school and I told them, hey, you know, here's my background and my history, because they also knew Michelle the nurse. And I said, I'd love to direct a play for your grades 3 through 6. It will just be for their school. Can we rehearse here in the gym? And then when we go to open, I'll find a theater nearby where we can perform and it will feel like a real production. And thankfully back then they had a principal who really loved the arts. It was Cindy Borgmeyer. I still remember to this day, because every time her and I see each other, I still thank her because we exist.
What school was that?
Beaver Creek Elementary. And so we went around to all the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. We passed out flyers and said, here's what's happening. Here's what we want to do. It's $50 to join. And I had 32 kids show up the night of auditions. I cast 32 kids and we did Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, so I was at their school 3 days a week. We rehearsed after school. And then 15 years before that day, I had helped a small community theater here in Oregon City kind of get established. And so I reached out to find out who was running this theater. And I found out it was through Oregon City Community Schools. And so I told them who I was, what I was doing, and that I really wanted to see about getting a theater space for a week. So the kids could come in every day after school. We could practice in their space. I could figure out how to set everything up. And then perform there and have like 2 or 3 performances for their families. So we went all the way through it, and theater is one of those things that if you walk away from it, but you loved it while you were doing it, if you go back to it, it's very hard to walk away a second time. And I knew I was hooked as soon as I went back. And so the next
kind of like the mafia in that way.
It is. It sucks you in and getting
just
out.
Just as soon as I thought I was out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very hard to get out. The next year, the principal from Beaver Creek Elementary was leaving the school, and the new principal wasn't interested in doing that. So Community Schools, who had gotten me the theater, said, can you come and do it for us, but open it up to the entire school district and not just Beaver Creek? And I said, sure. And then they said, and also we're going to put you in a different theater. And it turned out to be the old Oregon City High School on Jackson, for those who are familiar with the area. And that's actually where I went to high school. So that was my theater through high school.
Oh, that's a trip.
It was really bizarre. But we were there for 9 years. So we stayed for 9 years, continued to do 1 to 3 shows a year, plus camps, usually every summer. And we stayed for quite some time. And in that time frame, we repainted the theater, we recarpeted the theater, we fixed the stage, we bought new curtains, we did a lot of upgrades. And my largest cast, we did Peter Pan in 2009, and I had 68 kids. Just continued to employ a cast all policy. If they came, I cast them. And it was never about selecting kids to be in my show. It was about finding the right part that fit the right kid. Some are very shy. Because you have kids. I have kids that walk in and they cry through their first audition because they're terrified. And then I have other kids who just come in and they're just natural performers. you know, but I've had kids who went from being background characters the first time I met them to my leads within several years, you know, and they get comfortable and they find their own voice. And I think that more than anything has been some of the most satisfying, you know, what keeps me coming back over and over and over again. You know, so right now we're doing Peter Pan again. It's the first time we've done Peter Pan since 2009, but we're doing the non-musical version because they're a lot simpler and they're a lot cheaper. When we did it in 2009, it was a full out musical with flying. So we actually brought in a gentleman from Cirque du Soleil came in and helped us hook up the flight system and train all the dads who became my flight team. And like I said, I had 68 kids in that show. So it was intense. But this is our first live show since COVID kind of shut us down. We did a Zoom production earlier this year, just to give the kids an opportunity to be online at least with each other and see each other. And but we wound up kind of recording that almost like a movie. And then the parents came into performances and the kids were all there live, but they weren't performing live because it's very hard to do on Zoom. because there's just too many time lapses between so many people. It's awkward. So, but that turned out really well.
Awesome. Wow. Thank you so much for telling that whole story. It's really interesting and amazing to see how it's blossomed and grown just from that initial thing from your daughter, just, you know, stumbling across this, what you thought was a buried part of your past and just asking an innocent question without having any idea of what all was entailed in that. And just to think of all the hundreds and hundreds of kids that your work and that of the other parents and volunteers has made on these kids over the years is really incredible.
Hi, I'm Megan Waterman. I'm the owner and operator of the Book Nook in Canby, Oregon.
And I'm Tyler Clausen of Now Hear This Canby, the show you're listening to. Megan, the Book Nook is one of my favorite places in all of Canby. It's a one-stop shop for gifts, board games, new books, used books, and books from local authors. Why did you decide to open it?
Well, I love the power of a story. I love how reading about different people and places, times, stretches my mind. It makes me see the world differently, whether that's a fantasy story or a biography. It all changes the lens that I see and how I interact with people. The reason that we added games to our store is for that same reason. It's just a different way to experience story through gameplay.
And along with new selection, you're at a new location, right?
We are. We just moved, technically just across the intersection to the old Parsons building. We've expanded our space and also our selection. So we've got more books, more gifts. We added a larger gaming section. And now with the world opening back up a little bit more, we're starting to relaunch some of our events. We have relaunched our general fiction and our fantasy book clubs, and those are going great. And we're about ready to kick off game nights, starting with our beginner Dungeons & Dragons camp, led by Canby's very own Tyler Clausen.
Hey, that's me! If you're interested in D&D, make sure you stop by the Book Nook and get more information about role-playing opportunities there.
Yeah, or stop by anytime and chat with one of our booksellers about their current book recommendations and let us help you find your next favorite read. We're now open on Sundays as well, so we're there 7 days a week.
Nice. The Book Nook is in downtown Canby or online at booknookcanby.com. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.
And now a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
But yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah. Well, coming into this show, you have a GoFundMe up now, and you guys have been really open about what's going on. This really unfortunate and really horrible situation. You guys have not had shows for a while. You go show to show with your fundraising, and you had your bank account compromised. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but you lost almost all of your funds going into this production.
Yeah. So like I explained though, like the parents pay a small fee for their kids to participate. And out of that money, 100% of it goes into the production. I've never been paid for anything. That was not why I did it. And the majority of the people working on it are volunteers. The only people I pay are the few select professionals that I bring in to help me, such as a fight choreographer. Like right now we're doing Peter Pan, so I have a professional, because that's dangerous to attempt to do without somebody who really knows what they're doing. I paid a choreographer because it makes a huge difference to have somebody who knows what they're doing. My set designer, for safety reasons, you would need to hire somebody who knows what they're doing. So like I said, almost 100% of everything we raise goes right into the show. And so the parents paid their fees. Our bank account, basically, fraud and scams are just rampant right now. And unfortunately, I made one online purchase. I very rarely use the Children's Theater debit card online. And I bought something from a huge store. It's not, it's a huge franchise. And, but I rarely, usually when I buy something online, if it takes me to this little thing over here where I have to type in all this information, it doesn't even offer PayPal or something like that, I just like say, well, I don't need it that bad. And I leave.
Yeah.
But because this was through a large store, what we needed because we're performing outside. We are able to be together right now because we are producing this whole thing outdoors. So we can have an audience, and so that the kids can do this. And we're actually performing on my dad's property. My dad owns 3 acres of property in Beaver Creek, and he's allowed us to excavate part of his property to build like a thing. So there's a lot of work that's already gone into it. And so we did 2 camps this past summer as well. So what was in our bank account was actually comprised of these 2 fundraisers that we did, because there's several things going on for the Children's Theater, which I can get into, but we needed outdoor chairs. And so I actually went online, like I said, to a very large franchise store and ordered chairs. And so I completed the ordering process and had to type in my name, my phone, my address, and of course the debit card for the Children's Theater. Because I've actually wanted to do outdoor theater for a long time. I always thought it would be a lot of fun for the kids. And now that we're doing it and we're setting this space, we were like, we can do this more often now, you know? So I was like, so it's worth the purchase. Let's buy the chairs. We'll have them and we can just pull them out, you know, when we do it again. And because we actually wanted to do Shakespeare outdoors with the kids. But another story. So within about 48 hours, 72 hours of me buying these chairs, I got a text from my bank, just like, you typically do, that says there was suspicious activity on this card. Was this you? And I responded, no. And then they wrote back, you know, the transaction has been canceled. We'll be in touch, you know, basically. But it read just like it always has, because I've gotten those on my own personal account many times from my bank. And but it had like the last 4 of my card, it had everything. And then they called me, one thing led to another. And unfortunately, the whole thing was a scam. And they stole $5,000 from our account.
Oh, Michelle, so sorry. That's horrible, horrible, yeah. Horrible. Yeah,
I was devastated when I
read what
happened and what that, unfortunately, they're just getting more and more savvy, and they knew enough. They knew my address, my phone, my card number. They knew enough that I felt like I'm talking to someone from the bank. And it turned out to not be true. And I was so devastated. And
it's so common. It's happened to me before. And I there was one time I got called by what I thought was my bank. It turned out it was my bank, but I was halfway through saying my social security number. I was like, oh wait, you called me. I'm going to call and make sure. And it, like I said, it turned out it was legit, but you just want to be so, so careful. Cause like you say, they are getting so savvy and they're so relentless, and there's so many different places that they come from now.
Yeah. Well, and as soon as I hung up, I just had this weird feeling, and I called my bank, and they were like, that wasn't us. And I was like, oh my word. Because we've been going, 16 years, and we've never had a problem. But my daughter, who's now my artistic director, she's 26 now, does a lot of work for the theater. She was like, well, let's try this and let's put a couple things together. And sometimes people do really well with these types of things, and who knows, some of the other things that we've been fundraising for is like these summer camps that we did. We had a significant amount of money saved towards a building fund, because we actually perform at the Beaver Creek Grange now, out off of. So they took them down. We tore the building down, literally like stick by stick, brought in, they're storage containers, that shipping containers, how you can purchase shipping containers now. So the Grange had brought in 2 shipping containers for my Children's Theater, because we have costumes, props, sets, all sorts of stuff. And then they brought in a couple of small ones for themselves, the Lions who use the building, and the Boy Scouts who use the building. So everybody kind of had a little storage container, and that was intended as a temporary solution until we could build a new building. Then unfortunately, during COVID, the neighbor who was right next to the Grange called the county and complained that we were using storage containers as a storage unit. And so the county came out and they said, you can't keep these long term. And we were like, oh, well, you know, this is kind of an interim thing, but this was a safety thing. We needed to take the building down to have the plot of land, you know, kind of thing. So unfortunately, they moved up the timeline and they basically said, you know, you have, and I don't know the exact date, that's kind of between them and the Grange, but I know it's soon. And the total cost of that building was $30,000. But because the Children's Theater is such a big part of using the building, you know, we said, you know what, we're going to do camps, we'll do more camps. And we will put as much towards the building as we can. And our goal was to raise $10,000 to give to the Grange for the building. You know, so a third of the building cost was on us, but they give us a lot. You know, so we did the two camps and we had already given them $4,000. You know, we have plans to do another one in the Christmas, but, you know, the county is kind of knocking on the door. So, you know, so we're trying to like, so that's where funds are going. So if we raise above the 5,000, that's the first place that they're going to go is, towards the rest of our building fund, costs. And then just the building is old, and we do, since we moved in 5 years ago, the Grange kind of adopted us when we had to leave Jackson, the old high school. And, you know, so we've like, we did at Jackson, we've repainted the interior. We actually refinished the stage. We raised the ceiling on the stage. We, you know, we recovered all their seats, hung new curtains, you know, so we've done a lot because the majority of the Grange members are fairly elderly. You know, so they can't do as much anymore. So like I had a whole group that came out that just, we did yard work and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, the Grange is just, it's in need of some tender loving care, as it were. But like we have a handicap ramp that really needs to be fixed, and part of the roof needs to be fixed and stuff like that. So, you know, we were like, you know, let's just put it all out there. And if people are able to give, you know, $5, it makes a huge difference when enough people come together. And, you know, and that's how our theater has operated for 16 years, is a lot of people doing a little makes a huge impact.
Absolutely. So you have, the show must go on, right? Is going on with Peter Pan outdoors. Can you share with folks the location, the times, the GoFundMe, which is more than halfway to recouping that $5,000 that was stolen, which is really amazing to see that coming through. We'll share the link to that in our show notes for this episode. Do you sell tickets for the performances as well? And if so, how can folks get those?
Yeah. So we are doing Peter Pan, the non-musical. We're doing it outdoors, so we can do it live. We're going to be performing on my dad's property in Beaver Creek. That address is 21816 South McBurney Road in Beaver Creek, which is just off of Leland Road by the Beaver Creek Post Office, if you're familiar with that area at all. We'll have four performances for this one. We're doing it November 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th. They're all at 7 p.m. is curtain time. So we encourage people to arrive early, because parking is somewhat limited, you know, so we're monitoring it very, very carefully and closely. Typically, our tickets go on sale about a month before we have opening night. So tickets should go on sale mid-October. If somebody visits our website, which is OCC Theater, and theater is T-H-E-A-T-R-E. For live theater, .com or .org, I'm sorry. They can see how to purchase tickets right there. And they can also like read more about us if they're interested in, you know, who is the Oregon City Children's Theater. Frequently, just to put it out there, people frequently only, that when they go to search for us, they write in Oregon Children's Theater, and you're actually finding the theater group that's located in Portland. So make sure it's Oregon City Children's Theater and you will find us.
Wonderful. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us today. I really applaud what you are doing and the way that you, just your attitude of dealing with the challenges of COVID, of the unfortunate fraud and scam and just continuing to move forward for the kids and for the families and for the community that really needs this. I think that's so awesome. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before you go?
Nothing off of the top of my head is coming to me. But yeah, we're so very thankful to do what we do and for all the support that we've received. And, you know, if you have a child or even as an adult who's ever thought of wanting to be in a theater production, because we are that cast all company that everybody who walks through the door is welcome. And every, you know, it's a learning opportunity for everyone. You know, look us up. We do 1 week camp, so it's not as long of a commitment. If you do a full scale production with us, which is what Peter Pan is, it takes about 8 weeks to put it together because we build full scale sets, costumes, props, you know, the whole thing. So it takes a bit longer to get together. But we do 1 week camps, which give kids a chance to kind of dip their toes in and kind of see what it's like and experience. And many of the kids from camp come to do full scale productions, and others are like, we just can't commit to that type of length of time. But my website does go pretty into detail of what that looks like and what it takes to be part of our theater company in the full scale productions, because the parents do come and they do help, and it's required, you know, that they come and help one of my teams, like my costume team, my set team, my prop team. You know, back in 2005, I was a one woman show. And so I did it all. But now it's just grown beyond what I can handle by myself, you know, so it's kind of cool, but it again employs that everybody doing a little, so that we have a huge impact, and it works really well and it has for years. So, I'm just, you know, check us out. I'd love to have-
Many hands make light work. Well, thank you for bringing that up. I don't know if you knew this, Michelle. I'm actually a really highly sought after stage actor myself. My Tinkerbell is really well known. They said that I couldn't pull it off with the beard, and I insisted to keep the beard, and everyone said it was a very memorable Tinkerbell performance.
I would imagine that's probably very true.
That's what everyone said. So Michelle, thank you so much. Again, that website is OCC Theater, theater spelled RE.org. They have a wonderful website, a lot of information about their past shows and what their mission is all about. So check them out. And then we will have the link to the GoFundMe if you wanna support that or if you can't support that. Thanks again, Michelle, and break a leg. Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 40 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
Now Hear This, Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This, Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.